Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here. Chuck and Julie Show, too straight up. The first cloudy day, we have some rain.
Kind of feels like fall.
Yeah,
there you go.
Fall has come, unfortunately.
Hey, the show brought to you today by AmericasCitizenPress.com. That's AmericasCitizenPress.com. Great conservative website, along with Dr. Julie McCallan with Denver Cynegetics. All kinds of things to talk about. We're going to be talking about with a Real Clear investigative reporter, a Real Clear politics investigative reporter, John Perrazzo, at the bottom of the hour. You'll be shocked to find out that the border crisis is a deliberate crisis. He's going to explain all of that. An update on the Denver police lawsuit. You're not going to be shocked at that, but it's not over till it's over. But first, we have with us Leslie Manoukian with the Health Freedom Defense Fund. Hey, Leslie, thank you for your time and welcome to the show.
You guys, it's so great to be with you. I love what you guys do. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you. We love what you do, too. And rather than me explain it and you then have to correct me, why don't you go ahead and tell folks a little bit about yourself and explain what exactly the Health Freedom Defense Fund is.
So I'm the president and founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. And I had a career in Wall Street, worked for Goldman Sachs, and then ran Alliance Capital's European growth portfolio management business in London for a number of years before I decided to be a mom and also became a homeopath. So I got into holistic health and it really blew my mind and changed my perspective on life in a lot of ways. And it also introduced me to the whole idea of health freedom. And so I started educating myself about different kinds. I mean, people don't realize this, but sometimes children are kidnapped from their parents because they choose not to give them chemo or radiation.
Right.
Right.
But and now you look at some of the transgender stuff going on, right? Mm-hmm. That you can give children, you know, puberty blocking medicine now without telling the parents about it. Right.
And yet the parents have their children kidnapped by a hospital if they decline the hepatitis B vaccine at birth, which is only even indicated for people who have, who engage in promiscuous sex or use IV drugs. And I don't know any newborn babies that do that, unless, of course, their mother is a hepatitis B carrier. But we're giving these. And so the point is that this launched me into the whole health freedom movement because I started hearing about all of these things. I made a documentary on the whole vaccine debate many years ago, and it launched me into the whole health freedom arena. And then when all of the, when 2020... opened and I could see where it was headed, I founded Health Freedom Defense Fund in order to educate, advocate, and litigate, importantly, against infringements of our health freedoms. So that's what we do. We sue people.
Good for you.
Educate and advocate.
Yay! Because, you know, that's what it's all about. Shows like us, we can talk about it. We can do things. But, you know, the Democrats have their operatives, you know, the lawfare group, places like that. That's what they got. Well, now it's just, heck, state attorney generals are suing you. And if you're just a person, you know, and just to your point, I remember covering a story many years ago. It was a woman who went in, gave birth. And for some reason, the hospital mistakenly thought that she had syphilis, which, of course, she did not. There was some kind of test mix up. So then they gave the, without telling her about this at all, without telling her anything about this, they gave the baby some kind of something to fight the syphilis, only they gave it the wrong amount and the baby died. The baby died within minutes after birth because the hospital didn't talk to the parent. I mean, it was the most horrific story. We were there and the family, they had the baby room decorated. The whole family was there. It was time to bring the baby out to the mother. And they were like, oh,
we killed it.
Yeah. I was astonished. I remember talking to the hospital and they were like, well, you know, you're putting a negative spin on this. I'm like, really? I mean,
how do you spin that positively?
Well, but I was like,
Democrats good.
I was stunned because I was like, well, what made you think that you had this in the first place? And they're like, oh, well, there was this mix up. I mean, it seems like you'd think you would ask the parent and say, is it okay with you if we do this? Right. But I was, you're right. I mean, it's crazy the kind of stuff that goes
well,
on.
Well, I have a good friend who's become an ivermectin expert. And that's another one where they're shutting down, giving people ivermectin, even though it's proved in India and elsewhere to be great. I mean, I think one of the great casualties of this pandemic is the justifiable distrust people who now come to view the public health sector. They are not our friends. They are not people who are trying to just simply help you. They have their own agenda and sometimes pretty bad agendas.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting that you say that because one of the things I've been advocating for 15 years is for people to be aware that, for instance, hepatitis B is not necessary to give to newborn babies, right?
Right.
And that people should have the right to choose what we put into our bodies, and that actually giving that vaccine at birth is actually harmful to children. There's unbelievable research showing that boys who get that vaccine at birth are, I have to remember this, dig deep. It's been a while since I've read this research, but I believe that they are 3 times more likely to develop an autism diagnosis than boys who don't get that at birth. And then if they get the whole 3-shot series, they're 9 times more likely to require special education. And there's amazing research that vaccinating premature infants results in all sorts of cardiorespiratory issues. And so my point is that the whole thing, the CDC is a bot agency, controlled agency, captured agency, as is FDA. And there is a silver lining for people like me who've been advocating for years for people to understand that it's not as black and white as we're told. It's not that all vaccines are safe for all people at all times. That's not the case. Right. And nor are they necessary. But we've been shut out. I mean, they've censored my movie. They censored my Facebook page. They, you know, I've had several people just for talking about the truth, gotten their Twitter and YouTube accounts canceled because of me.
And you're safe with us because we've already been canceled by YouTube.
Yes. But here's the silver lining, you guys, is that unbelievable numbers of doctors and scientists are waking up to what people like I have been saying for 1.5 to 2 decades. Which is that these medical products are not properly studied. Right. And so the silver lining is, like you just mentioned, Chuck, that there's a huge portion of the medical and scientific community who are being woken up by the way that they're being censored and treated.
Right.
And a huge portion of the public as well. And so there is a positive, right? Sometimes they say, you know, it's darkest before the dawn, right? Maybe that's what needed to happen in order for more people to actually start to really, truly understand that we face a major crisis in American medicine. And we need to be honest about it before we can even deal with it. And it's been lied to for decades.
So where'd you go to school and end up at Goldman Sachs?
I got my MBA at the University of Chicago.
Okay.
It's like probably a different world. Well, let me back to what you said. I think one of the things, Chuck is into the educational backgrounds. One of the things.
Well, you don't end up at Goldman Sachs without some kind of bona fide.
From Iowa State University, you're saying? No, I'm kidding. That's where I went to school.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Goldman Sachs doesn't hire just Ivy League people, but most people who go to Goldman Sachs do not end up in homeopathic medicine.
No, they do not. I took a very circuitous route.
Well, you know, one of the things that was particularly appalling, continues to be particularly appalling, at least here in Colorado, is the fact that these unelected bureaucrats on county health boards all of a sudden are making all kinds of edicts. They're closing down businesses. They're forcing kids to wear masks. They're closing down schools. I mean, these people who, you know, no one even ever heard of before. And I think all of a sudden you realize, you know, they have enormous power that is extremely hard to fight back against. So thank goodness for people like you. Because that's what we were talking before the show. I said, she's going to help people talk about, well, how do you fight back? What can you do when, you know, you're just an average schmo and all of a sudden your business is being shut down by the health department? What do you do about that?
Yeah. Well, the most important thing people can do is to run for office and get rid of these people who are anything but American, because that's the truth, right? They are violating everything our founding fathers fought for and stood for. Everything.
Right.
I mean, it's it is not, these mask mandates that they're implementing violate federal law. Federal law says that almost all masks are emergency use authorized products. And as such, they cannot be mandated. People must have the right to accept or refuse any emergency use authorized product. Same with the tests. Tests and the vaccines still to this day, even though they say that Pfizer's been approved. The one that's been approved is not actually available in this country in most places right now. It's a brand, Comirnaty or Comirnaty, however people are saying it. And it's not available in most places in America. All that's available is an EUA vaccine. And it's illegal to mandate any EUA product. So we are suing people.
Good for you. So, well, and again, you look at like approved. I mean, does anyone, you know, so we saw the FDA tried to tell the president, like, everyone's got to get the booster shot by the 20th. And the FDA is like, no, no, we don't really know that much about it. And they're like, heck with that.
Then the CDC goes, oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about a widely trusted organization that was should never have been trusted with anything.
And you're saying, though, through your learning that although we're just discovering this is the kind of stuff that's been going on.
Well, you've been fighting against it.
Been fighting against it for a while.
Yeah. So, you know, you asked, I want to circle back what people can do. First of all, they can join Health Freedom Defense Fund. Go to healthfreedomdefense.org. It's $10 to become a member. And then we can represent people in lawsuits all over the country. You know, the more members we have, the better, because it gives us standing in all different in all the states. The other thing, as I said, is you can run for office and actually depose these, I mean, petty tyrants, essentially, who are breaking the law left, right, and center by imposing these health directives on people that are not backed up by the science and are not supported by law. So you can do those things. And I think, you know, listen, in my community, I'm telling everybody, run for school board.
Yes.
Run for city council. Run for, you know, county commission. You have to do this. You have to get out there and push back. And the only way that we're going to retake our power is by people doing it on a local level. And then we sue.
Right.
And we litigate. So we have filed against the Phoenix Union High School District and we forced a policy change there. We have sued the city of Haley, Idaho. And actually, we just had to re-sue them because they've re-implemented a mask policy. And so we just filed yesterday. And then we've sued the state of Oregon over the governor's edict and Oregon Health Authority's edict that tons of people, I mean, people who work in medical offices, doctors, all sorts of, you know, people,
right,
first responders, things like this, get the shot.
Right.
And
right,
like I said, it's only emergency use authorized. So I think that what's happening, though, is that, you know, the president came out a few weeks ago and said that all federal employees had to get the shot and that any business with 100 or more employees,
right,
had to require it for their, you know, mandate it for their staff. Well, the federal government doesn't have the power or authority to do that.
Right.
Health laws are police powers, and the police powers are reserved to the states. They do not reside at the federal level. So he has no power or authority to do that. And if the federal government or an agency wants to make a rule, then they can do so, but they must do it with a proper notice period to the public and then public comment and then revision and all that. None of that's been done. So we're suing them for the federal travel mask mandate. We're suing them for school mandates, and we're now suing over vaccine mandates in a bunch of places across the country. And we've got about 10, maybe 15 lawsuits that are in the works to file in the next few weeks. So one of the ways people can help is to support us. Go to healthfreedomdefense.org and donate, because that's something, these things cost a lot of money.
Well, I was about to say that, because like, what's your budget in a year? I mean, that can't be cheap.
You know what? It started out like this, and it's like this now.
What is this?
Well, I think our first, I have to go back and think about it. What we thought our first year was going to be was a couple $100,000, and it's going to be in the millions, I'm sure.
Well, and here's where
definitely over $1 million.
One of the things too that's interesting, you know, you talk about this federal mandate, and I'm sure this is why OSHA has not come up with any rules yet, because they can't, right? I mean, Jen Psaki once again was pushed on that today. Hey, look, all these businesses by the progressive left that wants all of us to be locked down, all these businesses, you told them they all have to have these rules in place, but you haven't given them any rules. And that's where guys like you can be so powerful, because if I'm a business and I don't really want to do this anyway, right? This is just a nightmare for me to try to implement. But I know that if I do this, I'm going to get sued, you know, by somebody like you, and there are no rules. Yeah, I might just say, you know, I think I'm just going to sit tight, and I'm just going to wait and let my employees come to work and do their thing.
That's why another piece of this is public relations, right? Yeah. We need to not only sue, we need to not only hold the line at the individual level and our business levels. And I mean, thousands of people, if not millions, are now quitting their jobs or being fired for not complying. But we also need to protest, and we need publicity like this, because judges are humans and juries are humans, and they are subject to public perception. So if they understand that it's more complicated, it's not nearly as black and white as the mainstream media is telling them, that helps to shift public perception. And then they're much more comfortable making a choice that actually upholds the law.
What about now? You've got just a couple more questions for you, but you've got some events coming up. You're going to be here in Colorado, right? Why don't you tell us what's going on there?
I am coming to Colorado.
Where are you based?
I'm based in Idaho.
Okay.
Idaho. Okay.
Yes. So yeah, I'm based in Idaho, and I'm coming over to Colorado tomorrow. I'll be speaking at the Messages for Life Church in
Loveland.
I know it's close to Fort Collins. I have family that lives in Fort Collins. So I was like, wait, it's not Fort Collins, it's Loveland. Loveland. And then I'm also going to be at a event in a private home on Sunday night. And I'm not 100% sure if we're doing the Denver event or not. I think it's canceled, but we're going to be live streaming from both of the other events. So if where people are, they can actually tune in.
Listen, where would they go to catch the live stream? That kind of thing.
So the best thing to do is to go to my website and click on T for my Telegram channel and go there, because then you can see the links to Eventbrite. I'll repost them again. I post them every couple of days so that they're at the bottom of the channel.
Okay.
But if you go to Eventbrite and you search for, I didn't organize it, you know, so I'm very bad at that.
No, that's right.
And all the groups, you know, it's like Colorado for Freedom.
Is your website healthfreedomdefensefund.org?
It's healthfreedomdefense.org.
Okay. And they can get the information there, right?
Yes, they should. They can. And I'm going to tell you, it's Eventbrite. And then you click on, I cannot believe I don't have this right up. It's because I was worried about my power and everything's gone down today. Here we go.
Oh, so, well, Charlene, one of our guests, Charlene, is on this. Thank you, Charlene. She says healthfreedomdefense.org. Okay. And then she pointed out, watch out for Eventbrite. Yeah, we had a guest who was holding an event, and Eventbrite canceled the event.
Because it was a shooting clays one. And they said, well, wait a minute, shooting clays, that involves, you have to have a gun to shoot clays. And so we're canceling you.
And that's a watch. And what they did, this is Casper Stock. And what they did is that people had already paid through Eventbrite and everything. It was a mess. So just keep
you guys, I know there was a big event here that I'm on the board of a group called Health Freedom Idaho. And it's a fantastic state group that does unbelievable work to defend our health freedoms. And we had an event about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. And they canceled the event. We brought in Dr. Andy Wakefield, and I think Judy Mikovits was coming as well. And they refunded all of the tickets the night before the event to foil the event. Yeah.
Yes. That's just insane.
Like I said, I didn't organize it, and I warned people about Eventbrite, but.
All right. But anyway, so how.
So can I just say, if you search on Eventbrite, if you go there, the name of this, of the talk is medical tyranny is here, what we must do to fight back and defend ourselves. So if you go there, you'll be able to get tickets.
You might be the only medical tyranny on that one. So
I'm assuming so.
All right. Well, Leslie.
Thanks so much. It's been great to talk to you, Leslie.
And keep up the good fight.
Thank you so much, you guys. It's been great to be with you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you for actually giving air to this very, very important topic.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let me read. Yeah, really. Yeah. This from Charlene. Unintended consequences of the pandemic, justifiable distrust of the healthcare system and science, boom in natural alternatives, and taking responsibility for your own health. That's absolutely right. They did. Yeah, they Oh, she's talking. Charlene is also talking about Eventbrite. Yeah, they canceled the Casper's America first event. Well, you know, so here's what to sort of dovetail off of what Leslie was talking about. We had Randy Corporan on the show Monday talking about a lawsuit that he had filed on behalf of seven Denver police officers challenging the vaccine mandate that goes into place, I think, tomorrow, which means I think Friday, if all of these Denver sheriffs, deputies, police officers, paramedics, hospital workers, if they don't all have the vaccine by, I think, Friday, they get fired, right? So they went to court today. You'll be shocked to learn that the judge dismissed the lawsuit without even really hearing any of the evidence, which, Chuck, you had predicted. This judge is an outrageously pro-city judge, right?
Pro-government judge.
Pro-government judge.
She very much feels that the government can do no wrong and citizens and employees and everybody else should bow down to the government. And so I'm not surprised that she just took it in her own hands and said,
just dismissed. I mean, I was amazed it was dismissed. Well, what the judge said was that she didn't have standing to rule on it because the law
hadn't exhausted their administrative.
Their administrative. Remedies. Now, according to what I understand from talking to Randy, there is a clause in there that says you don't have to do the administrative procedures if you know that it's futile, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what they tried to argue, because it is futile. Why are you going to argue with the city that issued the mandate, right? They're going to go like, oh, we hadn't thought of that. So at any rate, though, the judge said, nope, you have to do that. So Randy Corporan and those cops said, okie dokie. So they're filing.
They'll be on top of that right away.
I'm saying the administrative
remedies, you know, a little slow walk that one to death.
Right. But Randy said, so we'll get him back because they're going to obviously once again need fundraising. But what they're going to do, though, is they said, okay, fine, we'll do it your way. We'll go through the administrative procedure and then we're going to be right back here in court. Well, let me just one other thing, too. Here's what they need to be aware of, because I have sources. This was filed on behalf of seven police officers, but I have sources telling me there are hundreds of people, not just cops, but paramedics, sheriff, fire, all of these guys who wanted to join in the lawsuit. And they're like, no, we can't have that many. We need to pick some good ones. So, thank goodness for those employees who are standing up. I thought, you know, United Airlines fired like 600 people. Isn't it ironic that the health agencies are saying we're going to have to like start limiting hospital beds because there are too many healthcare workers who won't get the vaccine. So we have to fire them, which I keep saying, what is it that these are healthcare workers? Okay. And if they, you know, if they're refusing it, then maybe that's something the rest of us should wonder why, except you can't find out, right? Facebook, YouTube, they're now banning, Google is banning any kind of but vaccine questions or any content that they think is, and that, it's not like they listen to it, right? Like with us, they don't listen to it. So
I was encouraged that the Health Freedom Defense Fund is in fact that, and they got $1 million budget this year to fight these fights, because there are so many fights that need to be fought and so much fundraising needs to be done. It's great that they're doing a good job on that front.
Well, and you know, here's where I go. People can have varying opinions on vaccines or varying opinions on healthcare treatments and this or that. But to me, it's like, it should be your right to choose, right?
That's not what you know, big government people believe. They believe you'll make the wrong decision, they'll make the right decision and deliver your dead baby out to you. You know,
right. I mean, well, yeah, it does seem ironic to me
putting a negative tone on it.
The same groups that are pushing for being able to kill a baby up till and delivery, right? Up till and after delivery are now they'll want to put you in jail for not getting your baby a vaccine, right? I mean, it's just, keep in mind, as you guys already know, it's all politics. It's just all politics. It has nothing to do. Yeah, it has nothing to do with you or me or them caring about you or me. They don't care about your business. It's like, oh, wait, you know, no, you just have to get the vaccine because it's good for you. Even though it may not last that long, we don't actually, when you read the studies, it's like, we're not really clear on how long it actually does last becomes the problem. So
yeah, it could be a day. Maybe not.
Well, I mean, it might be 6 months. It might be 8 months.
Well, a lot of people seem to be giving COVID, even though they've had the vaccines. That's pretty amazing, really.
Right. Well, exactly. And again, you notice, and we've talked about this before, none of the studies talk about natural immunity. And I, again, say, I think that's because they want everyone to have the vaccine so they have no control group to compare things to down the road, right? And I'm exaggerating here, but maybe not. So if 6 months from now, a year from now, everyone who got the vaccine turns into a zombie, right? And the people who did not get the vaccine are not zombies. They don't want us to be able to compare that, right? They don't want us to actually know whether the vaccine works or doesn't work.
Because we'll do a pro-zombie PR campaign. If you're not a zombie, what's wrong with you?
That's wrong. Then you must be that. We've got John coming up in a couple of minutes, but another thing I wanted to talk about is kind of fun watching these generals testify. I just wonder who's everybody's throwing everybody on the bus. So
everybody's throwing Joe under the bus,
right?
Because Joe deserves to be thrown under the bus. He said 250,000. I don't recall that. Once you add, I don't recall that.
25,000. 2,500.
2,500.
You're talking about Great Becca, where the general said they told Biden they needed, he had 3,500 troops there and he needed to leave 2,500 or there'd be a disaster. He said, nobody told me that.
Nobody told me. And they all said, we all told him.
That I recall.
And so, you know, if you don't recall what your generals recommend, the decision-making process is not too good. Kind of like, oh yeah, they told me. No problem. Yeah, that's it. That's what they told me. And they said, no, we didn't tell you that. Oh, well, that's great. So do you believe he's lying or he doesn't really recall?
Or that he even called him in. I mean, maybe he was eating ice cream, taking a nap in the corner.
I don't think he was lying. I don't think he recalls. I don't think he would have recalled, you know. One of the things that goes is short-term memory. And he just sit there making decisions, kind of like, all right, all troops out. And they say, no, you can't do that.
Okay.
All troops out. These aren't.
Well, and today the generals are throwing the State Department under the bus.
Well, they should be.
The State Department was the problem. Although, again, I would go back to at a certain point, you can't say, well, I guess we're just going to let hundreds of people die then. Do you know what I mean? I guess the State Department's being a-holes about this. So
you're dead.
Yeah. Everyone would
hope. Anthony Blinken, whoever that secondary, that woman is who got on to inform the Taliban they better do what she says or she'll put out a sternly.
Right. Well, and already the Taliban is hanging people from the city town squares. Well, I mean, they don't even argue about that anymore. Although they did say, no, we told Joe, too, that that Al-Qaeda was still there and that we told Joe the Taliban was bad.
He just doesn't recall.
No, he doesn't recall. But I wonder what's going on just somewhat internally politically there. Right. I mean,
nothing. It's chaos. You know what it's like. It's chaos. I mean, any time it's chaos, you know, even the most efficiently run administration chaos. But under this one, you know, you have no idea whether the president actually has the capacity to make the decision, at least based on information, because he can't recall any information.
Right. One, is he just like handing a note out? I mean, is somebody sliding a note under the door that says, Joe says remove all troops or something like that, signed the State Department? I mean, I don't know.
If Bob Woodward wasn't such a corrupt journalist, he'd be doing a great story on the first 6 months of the Biden administration and what a joke it's been.
Well, and people are seeing that, right? There was somebody was tweeting sort of a lineup of all the polls on Biden's poll approval collapse among independents down, 21%, 20%, 13%, 16% from August. That's just recently, which is causing the Democrats problems. We haven't even talked about the whole infrastructure bill, which we're going to have to get to, because one of the things that's hidden in there, we told you they were not going to tax the rich. One of the things they put in there is they want the IRS, they want to force banks.
They sick the IRS on all of us. Huge number of increase in agents to audit every move over $600. I'm sure they didn't make it $6. And then all the people to take all that information. I mean, just
they want to force banks to report to the IRS every transaction from your bank account over $600. Right now, just ask me this: so if you're a rich guy, and so they're with the rich people, I thought, and
they don't have transfers.
This is to pay for the $3.5 trillion budget, right? Well, wait a minute. I thought the rich people were supposed to pay for it. If it's just rich people, they should be fine at the $10,000 reporting level, right? Right. I don't imagine. I mean, $600, if you're a rich guy, you probably spend that at Starbucks in a week, you know, or something. So you know that the rich are not going to pay for that. That, I mean, that's why you think
not.
Obama's are worried. Do you
they're
think Elon Musk is worried?
Yeah.
It's you and me. Yeah. And they're going to be saying, oh, Chuck and Julie, you know, you made $600 from your garage sale. Oh, you know, we're going to come down on you and audit you for that. Give me a break. So hopefully they won't pass that. But at least they're arguing about it. But you're right. That bill is just filled with horrible things like that.
Endless pages of things.
But to me, go no further. And even the banks are like, are you kidding me? Do you know how many transactions are $600? It's like, we can't. We can't do that. And they're like, our customers might not like that. Mm-hmm. And then they're saying,
not that we care.
Our customers might go to other forms of banking, yeah, right? Yeah. If you require, I mean, you know, thank goodness for Bitcoins. If ever we understand it, maybe we can go there in cryptocurrency. So it's crazy. Hey, Thomas, if you want to go ahead and give John a call now too. Oh, he just tried calling him and got his answering mm-hmm. machine. And Charlene is right. You know, good try. Julie from Charlene, there's no red pill control group. I mean, I think that's what it's about, Charlene. That's why they want to do that. They want to force everyone to get it, because then, you know, then you can't turn around and say, well, wait a minute, it worked better. People who had natural immunity did better. I think also if you're Pfizer, what is Pfizer saying? Is it Pfizer that's saying, no, well, probably people will need to get boosters every year.
Every day.
Because keep in mind, this is my understanding of the problem here. Keep in mind, number one, this was not a vaccine. This was manufactured gene therapy. Okay. That's what it was, to deal with a manufactured virus. It's not a natural factor virus. Okay. So it's not like with the way I understand it, with natural immunity, if you have a typical sort of coronavirus, once you have one coronavirus, it's ones that are similar, you're immune to. But because this is just gene therapy, it's not a vaccine, they can only make the vaccine specific to that particular, that particular fake virus, right? The manufactured virus. So if you get a little bit of a variant, it's not any good. And so, and of course there are variants. I mean, that's the way it works. So
that's the way we're, here's a news item that I got that I thought was just great.
Okay.
Today. Now I've already forgotten it. Just thinking about it. I've forgotten what it
was. Oh, it's great, but we'll tell you about it later.
I'll tell you about it sometime in the future.
Well, let's go back to what we're waiting for, John. Maybe we can talk a little bit about my belief on that. That, you know, the border crisis, and Jim Jordan was talking about this, saying, look, I mean, you'd have to be an idiot to believe that this isn't what the Biden administration wanted to have happen. There are just so many ways that he could be dealing with this.
He could just left Trump's things in place.
Right. Well, he could be allowing the Border Patrol to do their job. He could be telling people, we're going to send you back. But what they do is, I mean, so they had these some 14,000 people come here. And again, these are people, they were living in Central America anyway. They didn't just like suddenly all, I keep saying, catch an Uber and come to the border.
They took a bus.
Well, but I mean, and who paid for the buses? How did the buses get
Catholic
there?
Catholic Charities. And they make a fortune over each one that comes in this country. They have to defund Catholic Charities.
But keep this in mind, though. Catholic Charities knew that if they brought the people there, they were going to be okay, right? They knew that, because I mean, there are reports of the buses departing every 15 minutes from some of these places, right?
So people had to, Catholic Charities.
Right, people had to know to get there. Catholic Charities had to know that the Biden administration was going to let the people go.
Right.
The Biden administration, I don't think they thought the optics were going to be as bad as it turned out, but they were. But in the meantime, then they just released everybody into the country. And that was the plan all along. These people are now, they have no idea where they are.
They're all part of the fabric. They're part of the fabric. They're better Americans than you are, automatically, because they're Haitian immigrants.
Right.
So that's perfect.
Well, and here's...
Well, we have John with us.
All right. We're talking about that. We got John Perrazzo from Real Clear... No, discoverthenetworks.org. Discoverthenetworks.org. Hey, John, thank you for talking Chuck and Julie here today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
So why don't you go ahead? I mean, you know, when we were talking, looking at the information, you have some columns and some writing and some research that you've done saying what we believe, and that is that the border crisis, it's a crisis, but it's a
plan.
It's a planned crisis. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, what we're looking at on the border, which is, you could really say it, we hardly have a border anymore, is a Democrat operation to import lots of people, millions of people over time. The idea is to import a massive block of people who eventually will become new loyal Democrat voters for years and years to come. The Democrats understand that they have not won the white vote in a presidential election since 1964 when LBJ did it. And they understand very well that the secret to their future success rests in importing future Democrats from other nations, particularly south of the border. They've been actually let the secret out occasionally, perhaps unwittingly, or and certainly not wanting it to be public. But there have been occasions where they've actually spoken about this among themselves. One particularly notable example was Hillary Clinton's former communications director sent an internal memo to the Democrats, urging them to passionately support the DACA program because, mm-hmm. and she essentially used these exact words, that would be a critical component of the Democratic Party's future success in elections. Mm-hmm. They understand that this is what they need to do, and that's why we're seeing these Herculean efforts to bring in people from other nations illegally.
What I love is that applies to most nations, but Cuba seems to have a lot of people who didn't love living under socialism, so tends to vote Republican, and they closed down. No immigration from Cuba, no siree, no Republican potential voter need apply. Haiti, different deal.
Yeah, we heard Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas say words to exactly that effect a couple of weeks back, where he, even a little longer ago than that, where he really took a hard line against the Cubans, and he said, if you try to come here, you will not be accepted. You will not come to the United States, and we'll turn you back. Like you said, he understands that Cubans tend to vote Republican, whereas by comparison, people from other parts of from Central America, what they call the Northern Triangle, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, what we see there traditionally is that they vote in overwhelming numbers for Democrats, and that's exactly what the Democrats are up to now. That they want to import these people, and over time, and hopefully over a short period of time as far as they're mm-hmm. concerned, give them legal status, give them citizenship, and eventually make them voters.
Mm-hmm. Can they do that even quicker? I mean, we've seen in some, and I guess maybe if you could help walk us through what you think kind of their whole outline is, because it seems to me that, you know, trying to get them all to apply for legal citizenship, that could be messy. But if you just, like they've done in
blanket.
Some, if you just give them the right to vote, then you don't even need to worry about that. I mean, I got to suspect that's part of their plan. And I've seen it in, like in California, where they're like, well, these people are here illegally, but they're leaving our schools and they're going to our schools, so they should be able to vote in school districts. I mean, do you see that push going forward sometime soon here?
Yes, definitely. They always couch these initiatives in moral terms, like we have a moral mm-hmm. obligation to bestow certain privileges and rights on certain people because they've been here for X amount of years and they've worked and they've been good residents of the United States, etc. They've raised their families here. They'll always find a pretext of a moral nature to right. couch these things in. Mm-hmm. But what we see them doing, and it's not just bringing them in by one method. It's not just, say, the Haitians coming in in recent weeks. It's not just any one thing. It's from the very beginning of Biden's presidency, it's been a multifaceted approach. He essentially talked from the very beginning about legalizing the DACA, the Dreamers, the young people who came in illegally. That would be a primary objective of his. He talked about ending the construction of the border wall and continuing restoring the catch and release program that President Trump had ended. The Remain in Mexico policy, he wanted to get rid of that. Now he's been thwarted in that temporarily at least, but that's certainly his objective. Welcoming migrants who will be what they call a public charge, so people who will essentially be dependent upon welfare and welfare right. programs, public assistance. Biden wants to encourage that. So he's not looking out for the average American taxpayer. He's not looking out for the population that's already here, including millions of immigrants who came to the country legally. Right. But he wants to essentially do everything he can to bring massive numbers of people into the country by hook or by crook. Illegally is fine. Down the road, he understands that it'll be very difficult, you know, to galvanize any kind of political momentum to expel these people once they're here, because the certainly the Democratic Party won't put up with it, and the American people don't have much of an appetite either for expelling people who are here.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard to find them, right? I mean, that becomes the difficulty. I mean, these people we've seen, I mean, you know what, a couple weeks ago, there were some 14,000 people under the bridge in Del Rio alone who are now dispersed throughout the entire country. I mean, this is one of those things, and the Democrats are smart with this, is that that genie is out of the bottle, right? They're not going to be able to, those people are here. And I think we need to fight to try to prevent, you know, things like you don't have to be a citizen to vote and things like that.
You have to fight that you'll expel them. They'll have to go live in Mexico. Well, a lot of Americans are going to live in Mexico.
You know, what you could do too is just fight to overturn the laws that give them free stuff. I think, you know, then they might just want to go home too.
Open that border to Canada.
What do you see as some of the solutions then, John? Because I don't see this ending.
Well, it's certainly not going to end under Democratic leadership. It's absolutely not going to end. If anything, it's going to get much worse. We even see them going so far as to disseminate these people, these illegal migrants, to various, especially red and purple states, because they want to tinker with the demographics in those states and tilt them into the Democratic advantage. So we find them shipping really in the dark of night. Thousands and thousands of these people to places like North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, you know, the southeast, even cities in Texas, et cetera. It's really a disgrace what they've done to these communities without the consent of those communities. So when you ask what can we do about it, we really have to call it out. We can't use any euphemisms. We can't talk about it as if it's an initiative rooted in compassion for people who are down, who have been dealt a difficult hand in life in their homelands. We can't speak about it that way. It's not compassionate at all. And the example that you mentioned earlier about Cuba is great proof of that, because people in Cuba have also been dealt a very bad hand, but they're not being welcomed with open arms by any means. So we have to call it out. We have to say exactly what it is. It's an effort to reconstitute the American population for one reason only, and that's the Democratic Party's power.
What about in terms of, can you help us at all? And I don't know if you have, I apologize if you don't have this information, throwing a question at you. But in terms of follow the money, what about the so-called charity organizations that are, I mean, they are just dropping these people off at the bus stop and saying, hey, good luck, right? I mean, there's some organization to this, and there are some groups benefiting financially from this, aren't
there?
Hundreds
of millions.
Yes, very much so. They benefit tremendously financially. You mentioned Catholic charities, religious organizations, what they call non-governmental organizations, so-called non-profit organizations. And then there's a lot of funding that comes in for these initiatives from foundations like what's known as the Open Society Foundations, that's run by a billionaire by the name of George Soros. I'm sure you're familiar with him, a major funder of left-wing causes, and especially of open borders. The Ford Foundation, same idea. Millions and millions of dollars are poured into these initiatives by these foundations. So the money is big. The funding from these foundations is big, and the profits for the organizations that assist in this relocation of the migrants is also big. They get paid big bucks.
What about, can you tell a little bit about, and I guess tie this in too, I mean, I was doing some research on your organization. It's a great organization, discoverthenetworks.org. I mean, you connect sort of the webs of influence and how things are tied. Tell us a little bit about that. It's fascinating to go through it.
Oh, thank you so much. Discoverthenetworks.org was started about 17 years ago now by David Horowitz. He's the conservative who used to be a hard left Marxist when he was a younger man. And for the past 40 years or so, he's been doing everything he can to open people's eyes about the left and its agendas. So about 17 years ago, he had an idea to start this new website called discoverthenetworks.org, where we would expose the left and its objectives and its tactics, its strategies, and its underlying agendas, and contrast those underlying agendas with, you know, the less kind of boilerplate self-descriptions and mealy-mouthed kind of, you know, descriptions of its agendas, and really point out exactly what they're up to. So we have profiles essentially of thousands of organizations, individuals, foundations that all, we call it networks, because they work together as networks and assist one another and supplement one another and complement one another's efforts. It's a, if for someone who wants to understand the left, it's a great resource. Discover the networks. No, yes,
it really is, and it's scary because does the right have anything?
Do we have any networks?
Do we have any networks?
Maybe the one in Arkansas for Clinton. But that's about it. That's the last one.
Yeah, we have some networks, but our objective, our perspective is that the left is dangerous to the country. It's a pernicious force in America now, and it stands for it's truly an anti-American force, and we want to expose that. It's very important. If people don't understand what the left is up to and how the Democratic Party is intimately tied into those objectives, then we really are going to be lost. So we have to open people's eyes.
What about the final question, at least for me, for you, in terms of, I think to me, it seems like one of the things, though, that this crisis has opened a lot more people's eyes maybe than the Democrats would have wished, particularly when they're saying, OK, if you're a Border Patrol agent, you'll be fired if you don't get a vaccine. But all these people, all these Americans, we have to get vaccines. But then the people coming in illegally don't have to. I mean, it seems like the polling for this is shifting a little bit as people begin to understand exactly what this looks like. What do you think?
Yeah, it is, and I'm really glad to see that. You know, unfortunately, it's not too late in the game, but it's late in the game. It's a shame that voters couldn't have seen this before the election, that more people couldn't have seen it, or more people wouldn't allow themselves to see it and understand it. Because, quite honestly, the Democrats, yes, they've gone to an extreme here, but quite honestly, they were pretty open about all of these agendas even during the campaign. They simply contrasted themselves to Donald Trump. They called themselves the party of compassion, the party of embracing people from around the world. And that kind of rhetoric really went a long way for them. Unfortunately, we're reaping what presumably a majority of American voters voted for. And it's true, a lot of people are seeing perhaps what you might call buyer's remorse. It's too bad that it had to happen after the election.
Well, the problem is the Democrats are successful. Here in Colorado, they've almost captured the Republican Party. They're the biggest contributor to every Republican primary. They're getting people who will sign on to their agendas because they're reaching across the aisle by spending, as Catherine Murdoch, as much as $500,000 is predicted coming up to get left-wing Republicans elected.
So. Yep.
All right. Well, John, listen, we have to let you go now. We're running out of time. Thank you so much. And,
yeah,
and again, I really recommend everybody just go spend some time at discoverthenetworks.org. It'll scare you. I mean, you need to. John, thank you for your time and
thanks,
the work
John.
That you do.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right.
That's great.
Yeah, they have it. It's pretty cool. It's in alphabetical order.
Good.
Right? Yeah. So if you have a name, you can go take a look at it. Here we go. This is from Charlene. Voters did see it before the election. That's why Trump was reelected. Charlene, now we're all going to be banned from YouTube. Oh, we already were, so we can say it. No, and that's right. I mean, and I think we've talked about that before in the show, too. The one thing I don't know, I disagree with him, but I'm even more worried is I don't think they're going to even worry about getting these people to be legally registered voters. They're just going to find out where do you live, go to the places where they live, get a bunch of ballots.
They'll do away with the joke democracy after a while. They've already done so in Colorado.
Right. So, no, we have the gold standard, Chuck. We have the
gold standard. That's right.
We have
right.
the gold standard.
And it's been bought by Democrats all the way through.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I bet you, you know, again, who pays for this? We do. That's why, you know, you may say, oh, they'll never have the banks start having to report, you know, transactions $600 or more. It's how do we think we're going to pay for this? You've got tens of thousands of people coming in who don't speak the language, who don't have jobs, who aren't. I mean, you know, so number one, all of a sudden you're flooding the markets. I mean, Americans aren't working. I think many of them are going to be wishing that maybe they had taken that job because, you know, with this kind of thing, they're not going to be in the driver's seat.
The ones who did have the hire will be fired for the new lower paying.
Right. Well, and yeah, you can be fired for not getting the vaccine. But if an illegal immigrant from Haiti comes in and doesn't want to get the vaccine, that's kind of curious. What would they do? I mean, maybe as an employer, like, look, all I hire are illegal immigrants, you know, I'm free from that. That's silly kind of rule. But
scary stuff.
It is scary stuff. Hey, that will do it for us today. I think we'll wrap up just a tad bit early. We've got stuff going. Oh, wait, let me see. We've got Sandra, though. The problem with these illegals who'll be getting everything for free. That's a problem. Yeah. Well, and again, it's not for free. That's why they're going to have to tax us. And again, you know, the rich are going to pay for this. No, they're not. I mean,
it costs us zero. We'll take it out of every one of your hides. I mean, I'm just amazing to me. I mean, Joe Biden is let's say has a 44% approval rating. What are those people going? God, this guy's great.
What's wrong? That's his mom. That's
a lot of moms.
That's the Dominion voting people are saying that. Hey, listen, we got to go. We will see everybody.
Take care, everybody. And we'll see you on
Party Friday.
All right, everybody.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye, everyone on Zoom.